Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, good evening to you all. And the first song that you heard is People Get Ready by Rance Allen. The second song is Better by Hezekiah Walker. And I just want to say good evening to each and every one of you. I thank you for those that's on the line this evening. I think those that the chat room is not up, so I can't thank you for being on the chat room. But any other way that you're listening to this word by Airways. And I just want to welcome you, and may God bless you in all your efforts and endeavors in your life. I want you to know that it's a privilege and it's an honor to have you to join in with me tonight. And I thank God for Jesus. I'm Prophet Shirley Cain, founder of When the Walk of Jesus Ministry, the ministry that helps the lost and the hopeless to find their way to Jesus. I just want to give God all the praise and the glory, honoring his holy name. And I thank God because he's who is the head of our life. And he's the author and finisher of my life, your life, everybody's life. And I'm just so glad that he takes us just as we are. He embraces us even in our deepest of sin. See, God don't judge us like man do. Man will look you up and down on your outer appearance, but how many of you know that God looks at our hearts? Aren't you glad that God sees you right where you are in your life? I know I'm glad. I know I'm a living witness to how he has kept me and he raised me up and he brought me where I am today. And I tell you, I can't do nothing else but give him praises because he saved me. He saved me from the mouths of the lions and the tigers and the bears and crocodiles. He saved me. And I just want to encourage your hearts, and I want to let you know that God has plans for our life. God plans and his purpose. We need to be ready for the call because we don't know when God may call on us for anything that may be going on, someone we may need to witness to, someone we may just need to tell them about Jesus. But in order for us to be able to reach out to others, we got to know him for ourselves. And I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God that I know him for myself. And I'm going to play another song, and then we're going to get into the word. I'm going to try to make tonight as short as possible. And the song that you're about to hear is Let the Church Say Amen by Andre Crouch.
I want to introduce to you right now George Frank. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman. Be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
is
so
let the church
say
amen.
Yeah. Can I get a
witness?
Oh,
amen.
To what his plans are. To what his word is.
Let the church
say
amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank Andre Crouch for that song and the moment we all been waiting for, and that's to get into this word. But before I get into the word, I just want to have a word of prayer. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the word. Father, I come humbly to you, asking you to enter in the midst of this message that's about to go forth. I bind up plots and plans that the enemy has, may have tried to prepare to intercede in this message. Lord, I ask that you decrease me and increase you. I pray that your word will go forth and that the words that come from my mouth be your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will use me in any way that you see fit. Let your word go forth and manifest our spirit to receive you on this day. Lord, and we just thank you and give you honor, God, that you once more again letting us come together and hear what you are saying and to learn from what is being said. And all this I ask you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or if you have pens and paper, you can write down this scripture and you can follow along with me with the scripture. And we're going to be going to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 10th through the 13th verse. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 10th through the 13th verse. And the word says, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. But this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointing him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arrived and went to Ramah. May God give a blessing to the reading of the word. And from that word, we're going to talk about man chooses, but God appoints. Man chooses, but God appoints. And see, most of us contemplate on God being sovereign in his word, that he cares for us so much that he wants what is best for us. He wants us to find peace. He wants us to find joy in our life. He wants us to live our life to the fullest potential, and that's what he sees concerning us. And the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But he said those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth in order to benefit from the love that he has, in order to benefit to follow his word when he's speaking to us. It benefits us to worship him, to be in that relationship with him, because we benefit, and it may save our lives. It may shift the atmosphere. It may make things that's out of line up. When we say we trust God, we trust him sometimes until something dramatic happens in our life, and then we become all unglued and fearful of what the outcome will be. And we have constantly heard testimonies after testimonies how God has answered prayers after prayers for his people. And he has answered prayers for us. So when something dramatic comes in our life, I know that we may get bent out of shape, but we should be shaped back into him, because we know if he's done it before, he's going to do it again, because he is still God. You know, sometimes, you know, we never think about the struggles that people may have faced before giving their testimony. And they may have went through so trials unbearable. They may have went through betrayals from family and friends and even the church. And yes, there's a reason why I'm opening up my message this way, because we are going to discuss David in this message. And it is a perfect example of how he was a castaway. It's a perfect example how his family just seen him as a shepherd boy. If you really pay attention to the father and the brother's response, he was a nobody to them. If you've never been through anything, you cannot tell no one how to overcome their struggle. And trust me, God will send a witness to confirm his word and his promises, because they are true. His word will set you free. His word will reposition you in whatever you're going through or wherever you at in life. See, when we wait and trust in him, we can overcome our struggles. We can overcome our obstacles in our lives. And the Bible is your guide. It's your guide to any situation you may encounter in your life. That's why it is good to stay in his word. Because in his word, there is promises, there is direction, there is comforting word, there is how to have peace in the midst of storms and how to live to please him. I believe that because of David being content and trusting God for what he least expected God to do in his life, because he didn't expect this to happen to him in his life. See, David was a special vessel to God. He had all the qualities, the stamina, the character, and he loved God. It is such a small deed to trust God while we wait on him to do what we need in our life, challenging only if we do it on our own. That's why we got to surrender to his word. And if the truth be told, many of us fall into this trap when the prayer is not answered or when things do not go the way that we think it ought to go. We start falling in despair. We become impatient. And doubts start creeping in, and we start wavering. And sometimes God put us through a test to see just how much we really trust him. And once you pass that test, you should be at a level where you should learn humility, patience, meekness, and to have uncomplaining spirit and be obedient. Some of us want God to show us something just to make sure that he's going to do it. And I want you to know God's love is everlasting. In spite of our weakness, we need to know that God's blessing does not discriminate on who we are or what we have done. Because Romans 8:1 say we are free forever from condemnation. Romans 8:32 say he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how shall we not be with him also freely give us all things? Now, concerning our scripture for this word on tonight, I want to pin it back to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, even though we're talking out of the 16th chapter. But I want to kind of set this thing where we can have an overall understanding of what we're talking about and how this occurred, what occurred in this chapter that we're discussing. See, God sent Samuel to anoint Saul as king over Israel. And the assignment that God gave to Saul was to go and attack the Amalekites. And he told Saul to destroy everything. He was told to destroy men, women, infant, children, ox, sheep, cow, camel, and donkey, and not to leave anything. And the reason why God had wanted Saul to do this, because they were contaminated. They were wicked. They tried to ambush Samuel when he had came up from Egypt. And we do understand that God has his special anointed chosen vessels that he protects. And we have to be careful who we are coming against. And see, they didn't understand who Saul was. And so they tried to kill him. They tried to ambush him. And we got to understand even though Saul was God's anointed, chosen vessel, that didn't mean he was higher than God. But he was chosen. He was anointed. He was consecrated for the glory of God. And see, Saul, he attacked the Amalekites, but he spared Agag, the king, and he kept the best of the sheep, the oxen, and the lambs, and all that was good. Saul kept it for himself. So Saul was disobedient. He didn't follow the order of God. He disobeyed God. He rebelled against God's command. So the Lord sent Samuel back to Saul, and the word of the Lord was he regretted that he set up Saul as king, but he had turned from following and obeying God's instruction. So when Samuel got to Saul, Saul tried to butter up to Samuel, and he was greeting him, talking about blessings and that he had done what the Lord had commanded him to do. So Samuel said to Saul, "Well, what is the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear in my ear?" I want you to know when we displease God, verse 22 and 23 in this chapter describe disobedience and how we can become unfavorable to God, how he will not continue to acknowledge us in our sinful and disobedient ways. Just because God has shown you favor and given you the grace to be who you are in him does not mean you can take advantage of the blessings and the opportunities that he allows you. In other words, our turn, don't get the big head. Don't get ahead of yourself. You always got to honor God. You always got to give him the glory. And then verse 22 says, Samuel told Saul, he said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord?" He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of lamb. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Arrogance is like the evil of adultery. Because you have rejected the word of God, he has rejected you as a king." And here we go to how David became, he was the least, and how he became the most. I want you to know tonight, never think highly of yourself to the point that you will lose everything because of greed. Never think highly of yourself because God is so merciful that he will not strip you of your status that he has made for you to be. Now we're going to go to the chapter and the verses that we read at the beginning of this message. God told Samuel to go and anoint David. So when he got to the house of Jesse, who is the father, there were 8 sons, and David was the youngest of them. God had instructed Samuel to fill his horn with oil, that he was sending him to Jesse's house to anoint the next king over Israel. See, God already knew who it would be. David was appointed by God to replace Saul. Let's stop right there. Whenever God tells us to do something, we have to move on it right away. We don't need to, God to give us more details why he wants us to do it. Just do it, because the instructions will be further given to you as you get there. Because a lot of times God may give you all of it, and you may decide you want to alter some of what God has already instructed you to do. That's why God didn't tell Samuel that he was going to be going to anoint David. He just told him to go there and anoint the next king. See, I want you to understand, God knows what he's doing. And that is where we got to just trust him and whatever he tells us. And we got to believe that we can follow the instructions. And even if it takes minute by minute, we just got to do it God's way. Because we got to understand God is for us when the whole world is against us. So Samuel obeyed God without question. So after Samuel went through the 7 sons, Samuel told Jesse, that none of them was who the Lord has chosen. So Samuel asked Jesse, were there any more sons? So Jesse told him, only the one that's attending the sheep. Here is my point earlier. Remember I said they considered David a nobody, not realizing who was among them. See, his father wanted one of the seven sons to be chosen. And that's what the subject of our message is tonight. Man chooses, but God appoints. So the father brought David in, and the Lord immediately told Samuel to anoint him that he was the one. And the Spirit of the Lord overtook David at that moment. David became king. David became a man after God's own heart. The same way God chooses us. If you look at verse 7 in this chapter, it says the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So man can choose whoever he wants. But God appoint who is qualified for his glory. And I just want to go into a little history about David, because he was a young man who was not respected by the members of his own family, as you see. Because when Saul had to ask if there was anybody else, his father and brothers act as nobody else lived in the family. Yet by the grace of God, David became the greatest king in the history of the nation of Israel. He also became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exact same thing God wants for us. He wants us to achieve, because we're not focused on what pleased, we should not be focused on what pleased man, but pleased God. And a lot of times people are more focused on what pleased man. They are more focused on what about me. Listen to me. When you are outcasted, when you are abused, when you misused, when you stumped on, when you talked about, when you endure a lot of persecution, believe me when I tell you, God does see something special about you. Now remember, David wasn't perfect. In fact, he was far from it. But if you want to understand why David wasn't perfect and what he did, you go to 2 Samuel 11 chapter and read the story. Because David, he failed, and he failed big, kept short accounts with God. He sinned, but he was quick to confess, and he manifests genuine heart repentance. See, some of us, we want to keep doing evil, and we don't want to even think about forgiving. We don't want to even think about owning up to our evil ways. We don't want to think about repenting. God made it easy for us. He sent his son, and all we have to do is repent, because he didn't already pay the penalty. What's so hard about that? We need to always examine ourselves honestly and carefully and see where we are. If we're a man after God's own heart, and my question is, can we become a king chosen by God? Yes. Many of you have great plans. Many of you have great dreams. But you lack trust and you lack faith. And you don't believe it can happen. But if you allow God into your heart, your soul, and your mind, he will purpose it to come to pass. And I just want to share with you three reasons why we can trust God when he chooses a king. The first is, there are no accidents in life. Everything that occurs is a part of a larger plan, because God is working behind the scenes in ways we cannot comprehend him to accomplish his plan and his purpose. And remember, Romans 8:28, it tells you, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose. See, David didn't choose to be king. God chose and appointed him. Just like God chose you and your gifts in you. Man can never build you to be a king. Man can't give you gifts. Only God can impart. Only God can create. And the Holy Spirit operates the gifts in you. That's why God tells us in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We should thank God that he is in control. Because if we take over, if we take the wheel, we'll be in a hot mess. So that's why God gives us all the ability and the choice to stay in the word and in his will. The second thing, God is well able to bring his plan to pass. He will never propose a plan that he's not able to accomplish. Because he can raise you from chaos to victory. He can raise you from a poor, useless shepherd boy to a great king. Whatever it is, a plan to work out his will in your life, he's more able to see it through. Ephesians 3:20 sums it up and say God is able, which says now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask to think according to the power that works in us. We walk around here acting like we powerless. We walk around here acting like the devil got all the power and we ain't got none. But the devil is a liar. You got power and authority to tread on the serpents and scorpions, and you got to speak and prophesy to yourself. Never be a weakling for nothing, because God will raise you up and give you the power to fight anything that come against you. We got to be in position to receive. We can't be faithless. We can't feel that it won't happen. We got to stand on God's promises and his word. We got to walk around like we know that we know that we know. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. And each day we got that we get an opportunity to rise up, we should be expecting a blessing from God. Not just a general blessing, but the big blessing. And the third thing, God is sovereign. Choices extend to every area of life. We will never understand it all, but I believe the Bible teaches us that God is in the business of working out things according to his will. He is the boss. He knows what's best for us and to us. And I'm going to bless y'all with this prophecy from God, straight from the word of God, out of the word of the Bible. And it's coming from Isaiah, the 46th chapter, the 10th through 11th verse. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, that for the ancient times, things that are not yet done, years and years of blessings yet to be released. That's what I heard God say. From the ancient times, things that are not yet done. And I heard the Holy Spirit say years and years of blessings yet to be released, saying, my counsel shall stand. He's saying it is still the promises of God. And I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east. The man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And that's a prophecy from the book of the Bible. That is from the word of God. That is from the heart of God. It's comforting to know, because we are man after God's own heart. We are his chosen kings and queens. We are chosen generation. We are royal priesthood, a holy nation. We his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let me tell you something, man can't do it. And I just watch all these apostles and these bishops, and I know I'm going to be hated for what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. Talking about they activating people. How you gonna activate who you haven't created? How you gonna activate what God has already put in them? You can't activate that. You can nourish it. Nothing can happen unless the Father ordains it. And it's for our good. It's for our glory. Speaking of kings, this is a lesson churches need to understand. They need to understand the right way a pastor should be chosen. When we look for leaders, we often seek those who possess certain characteristics that we think spell success and ability, and that's all we're worrying about. We're looking for people of influence, of power, intelligence, and that's the worldly way. But let me tell you what God is looking for. He's looking for people of integrity. He's looking for someone that has obedient spirit. He's looking for someone that has a fruit of the spirit. He's looking for someone who actually loves his people as much as they love God. And most of all, he wants people who are faithful and holy. God is not nearly as impressed with people achievements as we are. God is not impressed with large buildings with multiple locations. God is not impressed with titles, doctor so-and-so, bishop, apostle, prophet, or prophecy. Somebody probably saying, oh, she's really hating. No, I'm not hurting. Hating. I'm just telling you what God is not impressed with. He ain't impressed with fine clothes, shoes, jewelry, anniversary, banquets, or who gives the most money, or sold the biggest seed. And I need to share something with you that God shared with me. And he said many leaders want to take the credit for building strong Christians or discovering the gifts in the members as though they created their gifts. God wants you to know, are you greater than him? Did you create anybody? No, they need to stay in their lane, and they need to do what God has called them to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And I'm just sorry. I just have to speak it, and I don't care if I'm hating because I'm hating anyway, but I'm going to just tell it like God said. Let me lay this out for you. God creates. God imports. God in power, and the gifts are operated through God's authority, and it's God-given gift. You ain't doing nothing. Man want to try to say, oh, I slain them in the spirit. No, you ain't slain them in the spirit. The spirit slain them in the spirit, if it's real. The only thing that the leader does is nurture the gift by allowing you to operate in your gift to edify the body of Christ. But see, many are too intimidated or threatened that the glory will no longer shine on them where they ain't supposed to shine on them anyway. It's out of order because the glory, the church, the members, the building, and everything in it all belongs to God. And let me just set the record straight. It doesn't matter to me if I'm not called pastor. It doesn't matter to me if people don't acknowledge the gifts in me. Because one thing I know, I was chosen by God. I have been ordained by God. And God has given me this message. And to many, I'm a nobody, but I don't carry any weight. I don't proclaim, no, never will I compromise to please men. And I do know that I have integrity. I am a child of the Most High God and the living God. And I know I have Jesus. I know he got my back. I know that I'm appointed, anointed, and accepted by God. And when I'm looking, I'm not looking for the Christ. I'm looking for the soul. I'm looking for those who want to be serious about Jesus. I'm looking for those that's hurting and need someone to comfort them and to tell them that they are loved. Even though they may be kicked around, they need to know that they are loved and that the greater love that they can find is in Jesus. I need to be able to let them hear what comes out of my mouth, and that is truth, and that's God's truth. I will not bang down. I will not shut up. I will not stop believing on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm a warrior for salvation, but truth, and the souls that's being ignored and looked over. And I know that I have been attacked by the enemy. The enemy is so mad at me, and he's really, really mad at me because the attack that he imposed on me, God healed me from it. And now he's very upset because I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stop trusting and believing in God. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to stop telling the truth. I'm not scared of nothing. The only thing I fear is God. God already told me the least will become the most. He said the Lord shall be first. And God said in this season, the atmosphere is shifting. God is breaking up some stuff. He's moving around some people. He's releasing those that's been in incubators and ready to give birth to revive the nation. Because God says he has given many opportunities for people to shape up. Just like he gave Saul the opportunity to do as he was told. Instead, Saul chose to be obedient. So God disobedient, excuse me. So God shipped him out. I also hear God saying, since my people who claim to be in position that's called a self-called refuse to hear what I'm saying and disobeying my every word, I'm shipping them out. Many people are leaders will hear what I'm saying. And they will call me crazy. And you can call me crazy. You can call me a false prophet. Or you can say I'm not listening to that foolishness coming from that woman's mouth. But God says he going to show you better than he can send his word through his prophet. Because Revelation 3:22 says, anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I just can't hold back no more. I just can't sit back and be quiet. And God is constantly speaking to me the same thing over and over. I'm trying to act like I want to spare people's feelings. But God says, spare not. Let my word flow out into the atmosphere. Let men hear what I am saying or what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And some may say, ain't God ain't saying all of that. Well, you're calling him a liar because I'm only the vessel that's being used to speak the word. I just want to shout right now because I'm where God wants me. I've been obedient. And yeah, at first when I was given all this stuff, this word, I said, God, I can't say that to the people. He said, if you don't, I'll use somebody else. He said, I've made you a vessel after my own heart, and you must speak the word, what I tell you. He said, because sometimes people don't want to hear, but he said, somebody is going to listen. Because there's going to be things that's going to come up in their lives, and they're not going to be able to do nothing but listen. And I listen to leaders all the time, and they be saying, "Well, I made this happen. I want the people to know that I stirred up that guilt in her, and I gave her the right spirit. I told her how to be a prophet. Go on with that. How can you teach somebody to be a prophet? That is not taught." That is important. And God builds that up in a person and he appoints them. And God is the only one that gets the glory. And he's not concerned about the beauty of the outward man. He's caught up in the condition of our heart. And I want you to understand that the body of Christ is in error. And everybody's doing what everybody else is doing. And nobody's doing what God says needs to be done. The condition of this world is because man is caught up in themselves, their own selfish gratification. And everybody say they want to be a Christian, but they don't want to take the time to pray, to read the word, to to minister to somebody. God said the party is over. He said 2018, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because I have called and called and called. And it's time for the move of the Holy Spirit to show God. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. I'm not going to apologize. Because if I apologize to you, I'm telling God I ain't paying no attention to what you're telling me. And you a liar in everything you're saying. And I'm not going to do that. But I do want you to know that I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I care about what happens to you in your life. But it takes you to understand, to nurture your soul, and to get it in the right position, to shift your mindset from the world and shift your mindset to Jesus. Because I want you to understand, you can be that man or that woman after God's own heart. And God does appoint you. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, and I preach my heart out. I've done everything that you told me to do. And some of it just kind of made me feel like I was being harsh and mean. But, Lord, you know my heart. It don't matter what man thinks, but you know my heart. And I come to you right now in the name of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. And before I go on, I ask if anyone don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I'm asking and pleading with you to ask them, ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you for all unrighteousness and all the sins, and he will cleanse you. He will make you whole. He will receive you, and you can receive him as the Lord of your life because Jesus done it for you. He done it just for you. He said there is no condemnation for all that you've done, all that you have, all the sin that you are in. I was once there. I was lost in the world until I found Jesus, the most beautiful thing to have found. And I just want you to understand it's a process, but all you have to do is say yes, and God will help you to arrive where you need to arrive. He will help you to become that new creation. All the old things will pass away, and all things will become new to you. And I pray that you will get connected to somebody that will give you the truth and not just scrape over your flesh and make your flesh be happy because it's satisfying your flesh. We need to be persecuted in our spirit. We need to hurt. We need to know that even though we are going through what we're going through, we need to know that God is the one that will bring us out. He will take all your broken pieces, and he will put you back together again. But when he puts you back together, you will not be the same as you was before. And I thank you, Lord, for every soul that say yes to you, every soul that hear this message, and I chide. That they will surrender. God, and I just you, God, I bow and worship before you. I come before you with praise and with thanksgiving. Oh, God, I come to you in humility and fear and trembling heart. Oh, God, I come to you in gratitude and love as man and woman after your own heart and through the precious blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves, our family, our finances by the power of the Lord Jesus, and we bind the power of Satan, demons, and all dominion of darkness that's trying to seek interest into our lives. We cancel any demonic assignments. We cancel the spoken of the spoken things are the things that are sent against us. We pronounce them to be no effect, and that it all be broken in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you will move on our heart. You will increase the eyes of our understanding, that you will teach us to obey your word. I pray that it is your will, not ours, to be done in our lives. Let our life be an example of your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness to those around us. In the Gospel of John, you said that the things that Jesus did, we would do, and even greater things. So we ask you, Lord, to make us like Jesus, to purify all our thoughts, the desires of our heart, our worldly ways, and the leftover habits of our old man. Help us to be who Jesus was on this earth so we can do the things, even those greater things. We proclaim our freedom to your chosen children of the Most High to live as you intended us to live, to fill us and overflow us with the light and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare and decree with our mouth that we as your righteous people of this nation will dwell safely in this land, that we will prosper abundantly, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, and we just ask you, dear God, and you've already said we are in the season of you releasing supernatural blessings. We ask it in Jesus' name and on the authority of your holy word. We call all our debts paid in full. We speak to our debts and we tell our debts to dematerialize and cease to exist. We declare that all our debts and mortgages, car notes, is paid in full, that is canceled or dissolved. We declare and decree that all are yet to receive is on its way as it accelerates expeditiously, expediently, overflowing blessings, so much so that we can't receive it all. We want what your kingdom holds, God. And I thank you in advance. And we will be so careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And it is so. And it is done. And we seal and we cover it by the blood of Jesus. Lord, let every word that has been spoken and anything that has been spoken in error, Lord, I ask you, dear God, to correct me. And let me be able to repent. And let me be able to correct the word that's spoken that is not spoken by you. Oh, God, I believe that you have sanctified us to carry on in our mission to this earth. And we just gonna give you the praise and the glory. And we cover it all by the blood of Jesus. It's sealed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I thank you all for your patience, for staying on the line with me. And I like to get some feedback because I know I went kind of hard tonight, but I just had to do it. And the call-in number is 323-792-2979. If you press 1, it'll bring you in queue, and I will be more than glad to hear what you want to share with me. And I hope that that you were blessed from the word. And I don't have the P.O. box no more, so it's no need of me talking about that. But if you want to share something, the call-in number is 323-792-2979. I don't have the chat room up, and I don't know why I can't get it up, but I'm going to have to get with Blog Talk again because they keep telling me a certain thing to do, and I'm doing that, and it's still not coming up. But I thank you all that's on the phone line. I appreciate you taking out the time and chiming in, and I pray that you were enlightened by the word, you were blessed by the word. Some of it may not have been favorable to hear, but we got to start believing truth. We got to get away from all this fantasy stuff because nobody's going to get to heaven off of no fantasy. Nobody. And so, you know, if you want to make heaven your heavenly home, then you need to hear truth and abide by truth, live by truth, and know the truth. And so I just thank God right now that he able me to share with you what was on my heart tonight. And I just thank you so very much for tuning in. And I pray that you have a blessed week, a prosperous week, a peaceful week, because it's just Tuesday and we still have some more days to go this week. And I pray that your week go real well, and I pray that you will continue to let the word minister to you and prepare for your day each and every day. And anyone that's listening, we do have a prayer line that is manned by Dr. Mitchell. If you care to call in, we'd be more than glad to share with you. To if you want to pray or if you want to just let us pray for you, any way you want to do it, it's okay, because we do have prayer at 5 o'clock, the latest time. Most of the time it's like 5:15. You may can get in, but if we are not on, just keep calling, and the call-in number is 605-475-4091. That's 605-475-4091. And the access code is 752-524-pound. And we'll be more than glad to have you to join in. And many people don't realize how important prayer is. Prayer is a powerful tool. Prayer is the thing that will get us through so much, really everything. Because if you don't pray about nothing, then, you know, God don't know what to bless you for. I mean, even though it's in your heart, but God want to hear us utilize his name. And so, you know, prayer is a very, very important tool in our lives, because if you want to set your day, you just need to set it with prayer, because that way you are communicating with God, you are connecting to him, and you're letting the devil know that you already covering yourself in your armor. So I'm not going to keep talking. I don't see anybody raising their hand to share anything, but I just thank you all that's on the phone line. I really, really appreciate you coming in and staying with me. And may God just truly, truly bless you. And I'm going to play this song by Charles Jenkins called Walk. And I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. I'm Prophet Shirley Kane with Win the Walk, the Jesus Ministry. And I just want to say good night to you, and God bless you.
I got joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't let that.
Yeah.
but you can't have my way. No matter the attack, I will bring back.